taking our Bibles, please, and turning to Daniel chapter 12, when scriptures make no sense, as we begin our reading in verse 4, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. One said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the people of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. We should never be surprised when lost people don't understand the revelation of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the 14th verse reminds us that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. Without the Spirit of God within us, the Bible is to us a closed book. But in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8, God's man in Babylon makes a shockingly honest admission when Daniel says, I heard, but I understood not. Daniel could not understand what God was saying. The prophecy that God had just given, Daniel heard, but it was a puzzle to him. God's revelation seemed to Daniel to be like a Rubik's Cube that could not be solved. Daniel had spent his life unlocking the secrets of God, but now he was stumped. The book of Daniel contains 7 amazing visions. You'll reflect upon those visions, staggering as they were in the time of Daniel, and remember how that Nebuchadnezzar saw a great colossus in his dream, and Daniel knew what it was. In chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed again of a tree and the birds of the world finding their source of refuge there. Daniel knew what it was. In chapter 5, a hand came writing upon the wall in Belshazzar's party, and Daniel knew how to read it and how to apply it. In chapter 7, Daniel dreamed of 4 beasts representing the great kingdoms of the world coming up out of the sea. Daniel understood that. In chapter 8, Daniel saw the vision of the ram and the goat. And again, he understood the significance even of the Medo-Persians and the Greeks. In chapter 9, Daniel's given the vision of 70 weeks of years. Once again, Daniel passed the test and he could understand. But then God appears to Daniel in his retirement. As we come to the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, we have what I would categorize as Daniel's retirement vision. He's now an elderly man. Back in chapter 10, the prelude to this vision is given to him. We find that in chapter 10, Daniel records that this vision came to him in the 3rd year of King Cyrus. But back in chapter 1, the last verse of chapter 1 says, Daniel continued in the palace until the 1st year of King Cyrus. He's now been retired for 2 years. He's no longer living in Babylon. He's by the river Hiddekel when this vision comes to him. The 11th chapter of this vision is the great prophecy that Daniel is given. And what an amazing prophecy it is. So we come now to the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. This is the postlude to this great prophecy. Such a great prophecy that Daniel is willing to say in verse 8, I heard, but I did not understand. You ever read your Bible and come away from your Bible reading saying, well, I read it, but I don't understand it? Daniel cries out, oh my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? Verse 8. And God says to Daniel, Daniel, go thy way, for the words are closed up. They are sealed. God's response to Daniel leaves Daniel unable to understand the word of God. Have you ever thought, I can't understand what this passage means? I find God's word to be confusing. If you, like I, have ever felt that way, then we have a friend in Daniel this evening. You'll find encouragement here as we discover with Daniel that you're not alone. You're not alone. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Isaiah 55 says in verse 9. God is infinite. We are finite. God is incomprehensible in the splendor of His grandeur. We are His creatures. And the things which are revealed to us, Deuteronomy reminds us, are for us and for our children. The problem is, not all things have yet been unlocked for us. There are things in the Bible that the angels do not understand. You're not alone when you feel like there's part of this that it's beyond me. There are parts of God's word that are beyond the comprehension of the angels. In verses 5 to 7, we discover that Daniel looked and behold, two other stood, one on this side of the bank of the river and one on that side of the bank of the river. And there was a man clothed in linen, verse 6, who was introduced to us way back in chapter 10, who's none other than the Son of Man, Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate form. These two angels on each side of the river now begin to communicate as Daniel hears. And as they communicate, they said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was upon the waters of the river. When Jesus stood upon the water of the Sea of Galilee, it wasn't the first time He had walked on water. This is the first time, as far as we know. But Jesus in this passage lifts up His hands. A vow would be made in the Old Testament times by the lifting of one hand. This must have been a very special vow, for both hands are lifted up, and something is shared. Folks, it seems that the angels did not understand. Wait a minute, Pastor Phelps. I thought the angels were there when God created the universe. For the book of Job says, the morning stars sang together. I thought the angels were there in abundance when God gave the law at Mount Sinai, where Psalm 68 says they came by the thousands when the law was being revealed. The angels saw the mystery of the incarnation. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16 speaks of that. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels. The book of the Revelation shows us the angels actually serving as guides to bring John the Revelator from one place to another in heaven and explain things to John that he otherwise would not understand. But here, two angels are appearing. And as these two angels appear and speak to the Revelator who stands upon the river, they go away not understanding the revelation of God. Now folks, the eighth Psalm says, God has created us a little lower than the angels. And so while God reveals His truth to us, even the angels do not always understand that truth. And did you know that Daniel, of course, as well as other prophets, did not always understand what it was that God was saying? The Old Testament prophets were often given revelation that they did not understand. Daniel penned these words. The Spirit of God allowed these words for us to live on today as the Spirit of God has allowed them to be preserved. But he was a prophet who did not understand, he says in verse 8. Peter speaks of that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. He speaks of the prophets in the Old Testament writing prophecy that they did not understand. He says, they searched what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that did follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels still, he says, desire to look into. Do you realize that the Old Testament prophets did not understand the mysteries of the New Testament age? They did not understand the mystery of iniquity which is already at work, that desire of Satan to have a kingdom on earth, 2 Thessalonians 2. They did not understand the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, the whole incarnation. While they revealed about it through the power of the inspiration, they didn't understand all of it. They didn't understand the mystery of the rapture. Behold, I show you a mystery, 1 Corinthians 15 says, something unknown in the Old Testament, but known to us. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And they didn't understand the mystery that we enjoy tonight, the mystery of the church. That God would gather out from all the nations, peoples, and tongues a people for His name and gather them together as one body with the Jews to worship the Messiah. The Old Testament prophets didn't understand that. Even Peter did not understand. Peter did not understand. 2 Peter 3, Peter gives a confession regarding the writings of Paul. After all, Peter was an unlearned man, and according to Acts 4, those who knew him in his lifetime called him unlearned and ignorant, but they took knowledge of him that he'd been with Christ. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he says, account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, is written unto you, as also in all of his epistles. Listen, Peter writing, speaking of them, of these things in which some things are hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do all the scriptures, even to their own destruction. So friend, when you wrestle with God's word, and you say, I'm finding this difficult and perplexing, you are not alone. Today in Israel, the ultra-Orthodox Jewish people do not work. Well, that's what the people who are working in the economy of Israel say. The ultra-Orthodox people, many of them rabbis, go to libraries to study every day the Torah. They study and they study. That's their daily practice. They are experts in all things having to do with the Old Testament, the law in particular. But they don't understand the virgin birth. Although Isaiah 7:14 says the Messiah would be born of a virgin. They don't see that the one who was to be born in Bethlehem, according to Micah 5 and verse 2, has already been born. They fail to understand that the Messiah is the one who fulfills Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected of men. They can read right by Psalm 22 and read, they pierce my hands and my feet and not see the cross of Calvary. Why? 2 Corinthians 3 says, until this day, in verse 14, there remains a veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is to be done away in Christ. But even unto this day, says 2 Corinthians, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Yes, there are some things in Scripture that we don't understand. When those things happen, we're not alone. But when those things happen and we don't understand, let's recall that God has a plan. God has a plan. Daniel has just been given his retirement vision. I don't know how long he had to work his way through all that God had revealed to him. But I do know that in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, there are at least 130 very specific prophecies that are fulfilled. Many of the prophecies in Daniel 11 have already been fulfilled. So when you read Daniel 11, verses 3 and 4, you're reading specifically about Alexander the Great and the demise of his kingdom, even how it will be divided in four ways after his death. In Daniel chapter 11, beginning in verse 5 through verse 20, you're reading of two of those parts of Alexander's kingdom, the Syrian part and the Egyptian part, the Seleucids and the Ptolemies in particular. Those things have already been fulfilled. When you read beginning in verse 21 to 35 of chapter 11, you're reading of Antiochus Epiphanes and you're reading of the Maccabean revolt. Those things have already been fulfilled. Some of the predictions found in Daniel chapter 11 are yet to be fulfilled. Beginning in the end of this chapter, beginning in verse 36, Daniel chapter 11 is speaking specifically about the Antichrist, and he has not yet come. But we read of him in verse 36 that he will exalt himself above every god. And in verse 37, he will magnify himself above all. He will worship even, it seems, verse 38, the God of forces. He's all about armaments and munitions. And verse 41 predicts he's going to enter into the glorious land. That's Israel itself. All these things are recorded for us for one reason in the book of Daniel. Now get it. It's the theme of the whole book. That God the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25. God is ruling right now. And the intricacies of these prophecies, some literally fulfilled and some as yet unfulfilled, remind us that God has a plan. Sometimes that plan is sealed. Sometimes that plan is sealed. In verse 4, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. In verse 9, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up. They are sealed. God alone has the authority to seal and to unseal the revelation of his word. Remember what happens in Revelation chapter 5? In the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation we read, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Sometimes God hides from us the future because to know it would be too painful for us to bear. Sometimes God seals from us the future because to know it would provide so much pleasure of heart that we would no longer be able to do his work in the way he'd have us to do it. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said when he said, I saw things that would be unlawful for a man to utter. God has the capacity to open his word and to close his word. I love how Corrie ten Boom used to describe God's grace when she would tell of her life in the prison camp. People would ask, how did she endure it? She would always tell that when she was a young child in Holland, her father would take her to the train station carrying the ticket himself in his pocket until they walked near the train, and then at the last moment he would hand her her ticket. Even so, God with his word, you've seen it. You've read it many times. You've thought, I never saw that before. It was God's word before you saw it. It was God's word when you saw it. And it's God's word when you understand it. God has the capacity to open his word. Sometimes God's plans are sealed, but always God's plans are specific. In verse 4, thou, O Daniel, shut up these words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Look how he describes the time of the end in verse 4. With amazing precision, he says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We discover there's going to be an increase in knowledge, and men are going to enjoy an increase in travel. Buckminster Fuller created something that's called the knowledge doubling curve. The knowledge doubling curve. He noticed that until 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. But by the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, things are not so simple because there are different types of knowledge, according to those who do these studies. For example, nanotechnology is a knowledge, and it's doubling every 2 years. Clinical knowledge today is doubling every 18 months. But on average, human knowledge is doubling about every 13 months. Again, this is according to Buckminster Fuller. But according to IBM, who built the internet and all such things, they speak of a day coming soon when knowledge will double every 12 hours. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will increase. If you were living when Daniel lived, 800 years before the coming of Christ, would you have had the capacity to even dream that such a prophecy would be specifically fulfilled? And yet we see fulfillments specifically answered. Always God's plan, what He reveals, is to sanctify, to cleanse, to help us in our service, to make us to love Him more. Many shall be purified, verse 10, and made white and tried. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise, why they shall understand. God's plan is that many be purified and made white. You see, our gracious God knows how to cleanse His people with the washing of the water of His Word. It's thrilling to know that God has a plan for you and God has a plan for me. There are some who talk about God's plan for us in our lifetimes only being a general plan. He's revealed His moral will, and within that moral will, we make our decisions. I don't believe that. I believe that position limits the omniscience and the omnipotence of our God. It's even limiting to His sovereignty. I believe that God has a specific will for you and a specific will for me. After all, the book of James reminds us in chapter 4, "Go to, you rich men, you that say, I'll go here, I'll go there, I'll buy and I'll sell and I'll get gain, when you ought to have said, if the Lord will." Now, if God cares where I live and what my employment is and what I do with my finances, that's pretty specific. And it's thrilling to know, isn't it, that when we put our heart into God's Word and we open it with sincerity and we say, "Lord, make it to be a light to my feet," we discover God's plan. God's plan for us is very intentional and very sanctifying. And so God says, "Daniel, you might not understand. You're not alone. Daniel, don't fear when you can't understand. I have a plan for you. And oh, by the way, Daniel, and oh, by the way, dear Christian, your future is glorious." That's what God says to Daniel, the agitated prophet, who's unable to understand the revelation of God. "Oh, God, I can't understand." And God says, "Daniel, go your way," in verse 9. "Daniel, go away. But as you go away, let me just share a couple of promises with you. Daniel, you will rest. You will rest. Go thy way, Daniel," in verse 13, "till the end be, for thou shalt rest." He's speaking here of Daniel's pending death. Daniel is now over 90 years of age. How well he has served the Lord in the land of Babylon. But the Bible says in Revelation 14 and verse 13, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." So Daniel is given instruction that he could rest. And Daniel is given instruction that he would rise, that he would rise. God is not going to forget His servant Daniel. "For thou shalt rest," He says, "and thou shalt stand in thy lot in the latter days." Daniel has the wonderful assurance of God, as we do as well, that he would rise. So when I find myself overwhelmed in my study of God's Word, I find in Daniel chapter 12 three wonderful things that assure my heart. I'm not alone, neither are you. But isn't it great that God is able to teach us His Word line upon line and precept upon precept? God has a plan, and what a wonderful blessing it is to know that God's plan for us is that whether by life or death, we will rest and will rise again. We'll come back to Daniel chapter 12 next week and look at the prophecies that are embedded here. But may God help us this week to be people of the book, like Joseph and Mary. And when we find ourselves frustrated by what we don't understand, lay hold of the small things that we do understand. For God's Word is to us the wonderful light to our feet and the lamp to our path.